Welcome back to The Common Good here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. Alongside Ian Simpkins, my name is Brian Fromm. Thanks for so much for joining us today. And as Ian and I often say here on the show, we love when we get to talk to interesting people and to have guests. And with that in mind, we are joined by Jim Dennison. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Brian, I'm so glad to be on with you today. Thanks for the privilege.
Absolutely. It's our privilege, Jim. And why don't you just begin by introducing yourself any way you see fit to our audience?
You bet. Yeah, I'm in Dallas, Texas. What I do is basically called cultural apologetics, the idea of speaking biblical truth to cultural issues. My PhD is in philosophy. I've taught philosophy, religion in 4 seminaries and pastored 4 churches in Texas and Atlanta. And for the last 12 years, I've led a ministry, Dennison Forum. Website's DennisonForum.org. Do a daily article based on that day's news that we send out to about 270,000 subscribers, have a total social reach of about 1.8 million. Then do a lot of white books, white papers, and books and such as well. Basic point is to try to help Christians to think biblically about cultural issues so we can use our influence more effectively for Christ. And that's what this conversation is all about today and why I'm so glad to be on with you.
Well, based on that introduction, what do I have to do to get you to be on our show every day then? Is there a, is there a button I push or someone I can bribe? Because what you just described is really in a lot of ways our heartbeat for the show. And you have a new book called Respectfully, I Disagree. We're going to kind of take a deep dive, but would you give us sort of the 30,000-foot perspective on that book first?
You bet, Ian, and thank you for the privilege of doing this with you. I could move to Chicago. We could work a deal here. You know, Wrigley is, I think, the best place to watch a baseball game in the world, I will say. And so even though we've got a new stadium down here, it's kind of not the same. So, but we digress. Yeah, the point of the book is to help us think really about civility as Christians in a very uncivil day. What I'm really kind of hoping to do is help Christians use their social media platforms, their influence in this very divisive, very vitriolic kind of day in such a way that we'll be glad on the other side of election that we did. We want to preserve our witness now for then. We want to be light in the dark now. We want to be those people speaking the truth in love so that we have a witness not only now, but on the other side of the election that honors the Lord. So it's really kind of a call to civility. It talks about the need for civility. It talks about the person of civility, how to be led by the Holy Spirit to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Then it looks at the practice of civility as we talk about how to disagree agreeably, how to deal with cancel culture, how to deal with kind of the challenging issues of the day. So again, the whole point is to try to equip Christians to be civil and therefore reflect the grace of Jesus.
Sounds fascinating. I'm wondering if, Jim, would you say that our culture, so just in general, is increasingly uncivil, so more uncivil? And then I'd love to hear from you, what role do you think social media is playing in a lack of civility within our culture?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I think it's on a couple of levels in terms of the increase of civility in the culture today. On the one side, we're seeing something happening right now that I think is unprecedented, certainly in my observation, and that is that we're at a place now where we're believing that the other side is evil, that the other side is dangerous, that the other side must not only be opposed, but must be canceled. That's where the cancel culture thing is coming from. We're seeing on two sides that the Republicans, with increasing severity, are saying that of Democrats and Democrats of Republicans. I saw a survey the other day that had the smallest percentage ever of the two parties willing to allow their offspring to date someone of the other party.
Wow.
Because we're at a place where you're not just wrong, but you're dangerous to society, and your positions must therefore be opposed on a level of vehemence that I think probably is on some level unprecedented. The social media aspect of that comes in at least in part because I can do everything I just said anonymously. I can say horrible things about you without saying them to you. I can say things behind the protection of the digital wall and all of that. And so I can very quickly in a moment through a video or through something that I tweet or I say kind of go viral with some kind of really vehement, vitriolic sort of statement that tries to cancel you, that tries to oppose you, because I can say that I'm doing that actually to save the country, to save our future, to save our democracy. And there's a level of vehemence in that that I think is unprecedented.
You know, I saw a spiritual director years ago do something that I mirrored a bit today. I posted a side-by-side photo of Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and then beneath those photos, a picture of them when they were children. And I just simply said, both of these men are made imago Dei, in the image of God. And I just thought it was important that we remember that. And the comment section, you would not believe, Jim, is exactly what you were saying. I'm curious, do you think Christians stand a chance to help change or influence culture? And if so, what are some ways that we should and can go about that?
Yeah, thanks. And that's really where discouragement comes into this thing, you know. Yeah. So some years ago, I heard a story, kind of a little parable. The devil's having a garage sale and all of his tools are out. They're priced and marked and all of that. So over here's anger and hatred and lust and murder and all of that. And they've got labels and prices and all that. Well, at the end of the table of the devil's garage sale is this one tool that's more worn than any other. It has no label, but the highest price of all. Someone asked the devil what it was. He says it's discouragement. They ask, why is it priced so high? And Satan said, because no one knows it's mine. I think the enemy wants to use what's happening in these days to cause Christians to retreat, to keep the salt in the salt shaker, to keep the light under the basket, to pull back from society at the very time when society needs us the most. So if I could speak a word of encouragement, it really would come out of Jesus' metaphor in Matthew 5, that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Doesn't take much salt to change the flavor of the food. Doesn't take much light to be visible in the dark. In fact, the darker the room, the more obvious the light. Some years ago, I was in Carlsbad Caverns on one of those tours down there. And at one point, they have you sit down and then they have you turn off your flashlights. This was back before we had flashlights on cell phones and all that. And it was so pitch black. Couldn't even see the hand in front of my face. Then the tour guide turned on his flashlight and we all were instantly drawn to that light. No matter where you were looking in the cave, no matter what you were thinking about, when the light came on, you couldn't help see the light, be drawn to the light. The good news is it doesn't take much light in the dark, and the darker the room, the more powerful the light.
Jim, what would you say to the person who says, you know, these are life and death issues, especially when it comes to salvation and the gospel, maybe civility. Sometimes we can't be civil. Sometimes we have to be argumentative. How would you talk to that person about the importance of civility?
Yeah, thank you. It's speaking the truth in love out of Ephesians 4:15. There are times when we absolutely have to confront sin. You think of Jesus with the Pharisees. You think of Nathan with David. You think of Moses with Pharaoh. I'm not suggesting that we be anything but strong and bold in our beliefs, that according to 1 Peter 3, that we're always ready to make a defense for the hope that's in us. But we do so with gentleness and respect. What we have to remember is that lost people act like lost people. I did the same thing. I remember so well at the age of 15 when I came to faith in Christ, I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what it was like to be afraid to go to bed at night because I might wake up in hell. I absolutely remember that. Scripture says that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. So even when we have to stand up strongly and boldly for truth, it's important to remember these are not our enemies. Even though they may think of themselves that way, even though they may act that way toward us, if we'll stand boldly for truth, but in a spirit of grace, then we'll manifest the spirit of Jesus. And quite frankly, the more severely they oppose us, the greater the opportunity to demonstrate the love of Jesus in return.
That other voice you hear there is Jim Dennison. He is the founder of the Dennison Forum. He also has a new book coming out on September the 15th called Respectfully, I Disagree. You can find out more at DennisonForum.org. That's DennisonForum.org. And we are thrilled that Jim is going to join us for a second segment as we continue to discuss the importance of civility, especially in the midst of a culture that is growing less and less civil as we move towards this election. We're going to have that conversation with Jim and more coming up next here on The Common Good, AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. Welcome back to The Common Good on AIM 1160, Hope for Your Life. Alongside Ian Simpkins, my name is Brian Fromm. Thanks again for joining us today. And we're joined for a second segment by Jim Dennison. Jim is the founder of the Dennison Forum. He also has a book coming out called Respectfully, I Disagree, which debuts on September the 15th. And so, Jim, I want to hone in a little bit more. People might not know this. We have a presidential election coming up here in a couple months.
I've heard that. I read something about that just today. Yeah, thank you.
There you go. And with that, it feels like the tension on social media around dinner tables in churches is just rising and rising. And so I guess I would ask you, how would you, especially for Christ followers out there listening, how would you encourage them as we move towards this election and how they interact with one another, how they interact with coworkers and family? What are some words of advice you'd give to people?
Yeah, thank you. The first thought that comes to me is Matthew 18:15, where Jesus says that if your brother sins against you, you have to go to him. I'm not allowed to talk about someone until I talk to them. I can't say about you what I don't say to you. Imagine a world in which everybody did that. Imagine a world in which we applied that to the president, those running for the presidency, to our friends and those that are opposed to us, to celebrities, to sports figures, where we always made certain that what we said about people, we'd be happy to say to them. If we start with that, That'll keep us out of the slander and the libel and the accusations and the negativity and the animosity that is so much dominating, unfortunately, the discourse of the day. And so if we can start there, if we can just decide that we're going to say about people what we would say to them. Then the second thing, and I know this is going to sound somewhat naive, it's pretty simple, but it's something that I have to remember every single day. I have to start every day by asking the Holy Spirit, it's Ephesians 5:18, ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, to control me, to empower me, to speak to me and through me, to ask Him, to even right now, be authoring my thoughts and be speaking through me in this conversation. So if we could, in every opportunity, and the more conflicted, the more we need to do this, just kind of breathe a prayer and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me your spirit. Give me your attitude. Give me your thoughts. Manifest your fruit, your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do all of that in me and through me so that you can accomplish your purpose in my life. If we'll pray for that and ask for that, then we can make the kind of difference that the Holy Spirit can make through us.
That's really good, Jim. I'm wondering, would you say, is it ever appropriate, is there ever a time for the Christ follower to forego civility?
I've never been asked that question. That's a terrific question. I'm thinking, even depending on how you define civility, I want to say the answer absolutely is no. That no matter where you are and no matter what you're up against and no matter how strong you need to be in your words. I would say even the apostles in Acts chapter 5, when they said to the Sanhedrin, we must serve God rather than men, they said it in a civil way.
Right.
They said it in a respectful way. Even as they're speaking of and to these very, you could say, enemies of the gospel, the very men who crucified Jesus. You think of Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 and what Peter and Paul said of the very leaders who would eventually have them executed as followers. So certainly there are times you have to choose Christ over Caesar. But even when you do that, I think you can do that in a respectful spirit, in a respectful voice that, again, understands they're not the enemy. Satan's really the enemy. These people are being deceived and misled. And if we could see them that way and know that we owe them the grace that we've received, then perhaps we can have the right spirit even in that conflicted relationship.
That's good.
That's good. That's good. Jim, I'm wondering, we've talked a lot about the need for us to be civil to others. How would you suggest we respond when other people show a lack of civility towards us?
Well, I'll tell you the way we should respond, I think. I'd love to tell you this is what I always do and just follow my example and I'm perfect at this. Boy, I'd love to tell you that. My wife would love for me to tell you that as well. But the way I think we should respond is to reframe this and see this challenge as an opportunity. Again, the darker the room, the more obvious the light. So when someone is persecuting me, if I'll do what Jesus said and pray for those who are persecuting me, and if I'll respond to their antagonism in a spirit of love, that will make clear the difference Jesus makes in my life. I'm thinking back years ago in the second church I ever pastored, a very large church out in West Texas. I hadn't been there very long and got to know a woman in the church who was dying of cancer. It was just a horrible thing and a long protracted disease. And I was visiting with her one time and I asked her what the hardest part of all this was. And she said it was all the people that told her if she would just repent of her sin, she'd be healed. And asked her how she responded to that. And she said, well, the only way you can is to love them because they especially need to be loved. And I've not forgotten her saying that. She manifested the Spirit of Christ in the very place of opposition that would be so hard in the flesh to do that. But I've never forget the impact that's made on me because she did that. So again, the more we're opposed when we respond by speaking the truth in love, the difference we show Jesus makes in us.
So I want to make sure to make time to ask you about Denison Forum as well, because I'm even just scrolling through some of the topics you tackle, everything from voting to suicide to common sense. Can you give us a little taste of what might people expect when they go there, and what's sort of your hope and vision for Denison Forum in general?
Ian, thank you very much for that. The goal is to speak biblical truth to cultural issues, seeking to empower and equip Christians to use their influence to make a difference in the culture for Christ. And so you never know what the topic's going to be. It just depends on what's in the news, what's out there that seems to be getting interest that I could find a way to speak to. I've already written the article for tomorrow. I'll get up tomorrow morning about 4 a.m. and I'll finish it and usually update it based on the news, that sort of thing. But if I go with what I have right now for tomorrow's daily article, it starts, for instance, with a shark that killed a surfer off of a protected beach in Australia. And from there, we pivot to an article about a dentist in New York City seeing an epidemic of cracked teeth during the pandemic. Then my third story is about how guitar sales are booming and what that says about where we are in the pandemic. Then to try to tie all of that together with a Forbes webinar I was in recently on digital transformation stocks and trying to make essentially the point that in the midst of all that we're facing in these days, what we need most, the culture can't give. And that's a pivot over to the relationship we can have with God as our shepherd. That's out of Psalm 80 and how we can share what we've received. So that's essentially tomorrow's article. No idea. Well, I kind of know what I'll write on for Friday because it's the anniversary of 9/11 and the 6-month anniversary of the official start of the pandemic. So wow. I'm sure I'll do something obviously about that on Friday. But typically, I just don't know what's going to be in the news that I want to speak to and write about. So get up every morning and finish that article and about 900 words. It's all free. All our digital resources are free. Then we send that out to our email subscribers, out to our social platforms as well. And it's also at the website, denisonforum.org. That's where people can get to the white papers, the website content, the social content, and that's where they can find our books as well.
That's fantastic. That's great. Jim, last question. We're so excited. We're really grateful that you've joined us for these two segments. Really grateful for your time. But I just want to ask kind of big picture. You're engaged with the church. And I would just ask you this, in the midst of an election season and in the midst of a pandemic, are you hopeful for the church? Are you hopeful for the days coming here in the future for the church?
Yeah, Brian, what a great question. What a foundational question. On a human level, you'd say no, I think. You'd look at the discouragement of the polls that are out there, the surveys, more than half of millennial evangelicals who don't believe that evangelism is appropriate anymore. They see that as a violating of tolerance and those sorts of things. You look at some of the numbers of church attendance, especially in mainstream, but even in some of the evangelical denominational direction and all of that. So you'd look in those terms and you would think, well, man, the trend is not positive. The trajectory is not positive. But on the other side, you look around at what God is doing in the world right now. There's a fifth great awakening happening in the nations. I travel a lot in the Muslim world. I've been to Israel more than 30 times over the years. And I can tell you, talking to Muslim missionaries, they say more Muslims have come to Christ in the last 15 years than the previous 15 centuries. Wow. Many after seeing visions and dreams of Jesus. There's an awakening happening in China. There's an awakening happening in Brazil. Every place people are making God their king, they're experiencing this awakening. In our culture, he's a hobby. In the Bible, he's a king. If we make him our king, then we join what he's doing in the kingdom, and there's always hope there.
Wow. Yeah. Jim, thank you for ending that way. Again, this is Jim Denison. He's the founder of Denison Forum. You can find out more at Denison. That's D-E-N-I-S-O-N, denisonforum.org. And also his new book, Respectfully, I Disagree, debuts on September the 15th. You can find that there at the Denison Forum, and I'm sure all sorts of other places. Jim, this was really enjoyable. We really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today.
Brian and Ian, I'm so honored to be with you today. God bless you both.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for agreeing to be on the show tomorrow as well.
I'll be here. I'm ready.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That was Jim Denison. We're grateful that he joined us. You're listening to The Common Good here on AM 1160. Hope for your life.